Welcome to the Hale Varsity Tailgate at the Rail Yard. Every home football Friday. Now, here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Pitching in another Hale Varsity Tailgate. Back at it here in the Rail Yard. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Mike Babcock, Jacob Padilla, and Huskers standout wide receiver Brandon Keddie will be with us. Joel Makavica. I will not say Jeff. Joel Makavica will be with us also.
As does he even lift?
I don't know if he lifts, but I want to see you arm wrestle him.
Bring it. I'm just wondering if he does.
No.
You can't
tell. So it's great to have you here at the Rail Yard with Hale Varsity. A lot of things to tell you about. First and foremost, the heaters are active. They are warm.
Yes.
If you're wrapping up with state volleyball, if you're a Gopher fan, if you're a Nebraska fan, we invite you down here to the Rail Yard with Hale Varsity. Here 4 to 6:30. Longwells and K&Z Distributing have your friends from White Elm Brewing Company over by the Longwells entrance for free samples of craft beer. That's a great thing. Also, the friends from Kidwell sponsoring free barbecue meatballs. High-five me on that, so we want to see you there. Your chance to qualify for the Oris Grand Prize giveaway. His and her Oris watches. Oris watches from Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman are awesome. Plenty of yearbooks you can get. Husker gear, your chance at Nebraska-Minnesota tickets. And we just had a Tyron Lue-type jumper go down with the Hale Varsity Cornhole Contest.
Yep, there's the Cornhole Contest here as well. There's the... Yeah, I'm glad the heaters are out. I'm layered right now. How about you? I'm wearing like the Cabela's like base layer pants, you know?
See, I didn't do that. I don't have the tights on either. I just have normal pants. I've got a tribute to Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future with a vest on. It is not orange. It's not a life preserver, but it is black.
It's kind of puffy,
sexy.
Dude.
And I've got the stocking hat on. Mike Babcock has the Adidas coat with the Hale Varsity sweatshirt. It's Fashion Friday. Babers, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Saw a Minnesota fan come by.
That's a good thing. I mean, the Gopher fans always travel pretty heavily here, don't they?
I mean, yeah, they always... You know what? It's sort of like their program. Just solid, right? Solid fan base, solid traveling, solid team that plays solid defense with solid offense and solid special teams. There is nothing about them that wows you. But there's nothing about them that disappoints you either.
No, they are somebody you don't want to mess with.
No.
And you better be ready for it. Guys, let's dive into a topic, and that is Nebraska's current record at 7-2. And I enjoy the Hale Varsity no huddle immensely.
Good. Thank you.
And some things that you put in there, you know, some things to be happy about being 7-2. And I got to ask you, you take 7-2. Many of you had 7-2 down as the record for Nebraska.
Sure.
At this point in the year. You didn't think you'd beat Wisconsin. You didn't think you'd beat Ohio State. And that's fine. But there was a little more hope infused to this season 3 weeks ago as you went into Madison. You were there. You fought hard. You had overtime. You didn't get it finished.
Yep.
And then last Saturday happened. That was rough. It was kind of a, oh, here we go again type mindset.
Jeez. And result.
And yeah. Result. And, yeah. And Kranak, you start. Babers, I'll get your thoughts too. But I am happy with 7-2 so far as the season ends 10-2. I think my expectation level, my bar has risen to 10-2 with this team. Oof. One game at a time, I understand. But Oof. You win tomorrow night. You beat Maryland, you win at Iowa, easier said than done. But based on how good you looked and how well you played in Madison, you should be able to do it. The Wisconsin game kind of set a whole new bar for me. The Ohio State game, look, I have no explanation for it. I mean, I have explanations for it, but you just move on from it and hopefully it never happens again. In that sort of destruction, and that sort of setting, and that sort of spotlight, but the win or near win against Wisconsin has done more for my thoughts on this team than the loss to Ohio State has done to detract it.
Oof. That's a tough one, man. Look, so if you think about the Wisconsin game, just the way they're built, they're not really built to blow teams out, right? So I mean, for the most part,
They wear you down and it turns into a blowout.
It can. But the way they play, you can be in a game with them on the scoreboard, but still not be playing well enough to beat them, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're sort of built like that. They run the ball, they play great defense, right? Like, that's, so just by nature of that, you're going to play close games. I don't think Nebraska played such a great game against Wisconsin. I think they played all right.
A better game, though, against that level of competition they had in a long time on the road.
Sure. And then follow that up with just a complete meltdown. A thorough, complete, like, mentally they were not there. And so I don't understand where the confidence of, okay, well, that's fine, you just go 10-2 now, is coming from. That offensive line isn't blocking people. And they haven't been blocking people for a while. And it finally got exposed. they're not blocking people. How are you going to win?
You get people healthy, which they've done.
Sure.
It's quarterback back, which is supposed to happen. And you're a different / better team with some depth.
Look.
Moving forward.
Nebraska showed some mental, that they're a little fragile mentally. More fragile than we thought. And then now you're going to be taking on Minnesota, who's pretty damn sure who they are. You know what I mean? Minnesota has no identity problems, right? They're not mentally fragile. They're very competent. They hit hard. They run the ball. They're not even throwing it 20 times a game. They know exactly who they are and exactly what they're going to do. Going up against a Nebraska team that just got smoked. I don't like tomorrow. I don't like tomorrow at all.
Okay.
It's a worrisome. That's not the type of team. I'd rather it be some sort of flaky team that was walking into Memorial Stadium on Saturday, but it's not. It's a pretty confident bunch, and 10-2 seems like a pipe dream to me at this point.
Mike Babcock, a Hail Varsity and historian, author, Hall of Famer. Mike, you've seen a lot of football. You know how fragile teams can be, especially teams that have lost a couple consecutive games. One, an emotionally draining overtime, and then also a beating, a severe beating on a big-time stage against the team that the world is chasing, not named Alabama or Michigan. What's 7-2 mean to you right now?
Well, going into it, as you mentioned, I would have said Nebraska would be 7-2 at this point. That's what I figured. Maybe 6-3, although I don't know where I would have seen that other loss. But the one question I have is, it's the sequence of the way Nebraska played Wisconsin and then Ohio State. I don't know how much emotional energy Nebraska invested in that Wisconsin game. I don't know if that partly explains what happened. And then you add to that, so you go into that game and maybe you've lost some emotional. You've expended some emotional energy at Wisconsin. You go into that game, right off the bat, there's a pick six. Okay, so now it's magnified, if that makes any sense. And it seemed like, I know it was, 24-3 when Tommy got hurt?
Yep.
Okay, so here's something else. Now, I 24-3. It's probably not a good situation to be in when you're at Ohio State, and Ohio State hasn't played overly well leading up to that game, but now Ohio State's at home. It's at night. There's some energy there. You got that pick six. You build up some momentum. But the fact is Tommy gets hurt. Off he comes now emotionally, and I think this is an emotionally tough team. Uh-huh. We've talked about that before going into the season, all the things that have happened to this team and how it's rebounded and been mentally tough. But to some extent, I think it might have just caught up with the Huskers in that Ohio State game, and it fell apart. I'm kind of in between you and Mark on that. I think that Nebraska's in a position to be 10-2 when all is said and done in the regular season. But the thing you have to consider also is Minnesota's in control of its own destiny.
Yep.
Although it's a tough,
right?
It's a tough,
tough road.
Northwestern and then at Wisconsin. But
right.
But still, it's in control of that. And as you pointed out, Wisconsin is not the sort of team that necessarily is going to blow you out
no.
at home. So Minnesota's scrappy. I think Minnesota and Nebraska are very similar. Yeah. Yep. You know, I think that that's tomorrow's going to be a slug it out kind of a grind type game, and whoever is the most persistent and stays the strongest in the fourth quarter is probably going to win the game.
Real quick, too, when you look at Minnesota, when you look at some of the road games Nebraska's won this year, I think there's a – this season could be defining for Nebraska in a sense. Who are you more like? Are you closer to Wisconsin? Because that's who you're chasing for the West.
Yeah.
Are you closer to Iowa? That's who won the West last year. You've beaten Michigan State and played pretty well with Sparty the last few years since you've, what neighborhood are you in is what I'm asking.
Yeah.
And you have Michigan and Ohio State that are in gated communities. Okay.
Sure.
And Nebraska is in a sweet little area, but they could get evicted pretty soon, and you got to win games. That's kind of step two of this year. Last year you lost to teams that you're not supposed to lose to if you're Nebraska. That's the ego talking, but that's just the mindset, because you're supposed to beat the teams that you are, air quotes, superior to. Last year that didn't happen. This year, you've beaten Indiana, you won at Northwestern, you beat Oregon, you beat Illinois, you beat Purdue. You didn't destroy them, but you beat them, which was good enough compared to last year. And now, Minnesota's a team that's been right at your heels along with Northwestern. They're 3-2 coming into this, this ball game. So if you can beat those teams you're supposed to beat, and be right there with Wisconsin in the West, to win the West, I think you've advanced the program. And games like you had against Wisconsin show that, okay, you're on the right track. Games against Ohio State make you wonder what's going on and will this team ever get back. And those are some of the points that I think wrap up into this 10-2 finish for me. It tells the story of, okay, Nebraska has advanced the program a bit. And based on what you did against Wisconsin the last 2 years, you're right there against them. You can beat Iowa. You should have beat Iowa, marring the turnover, should have, I know. But you've been right there with Iowa. You weren't blown out or destroyed by them. So that's what's going to be telling to me. Tomorrow's a huge game. I don't doubt that. I mean, I'm not overlooking Minnesota. I think they're a good ball club. But really, if you want to move it forward and overachieve and be 10-2, that folks would feel really good about that. They take 8-4, they take 9-3 as well too, as long as you're playing well. But I think you need to hit that 10-win mark to kind of maybe erase a bit of that 62-3 ball game.
It would be nice. I think Nebraska lost their edge a little bit after the Wisconsin game, and
I think it drained them.
But I think they lost their edge from another standpoint too, because they were applauded. Right, for that effort. And a lot of people thought they couldn't hang with Wisconsin. They did. They proved that to themselves. And I think they took their foot off the gas a little bit.
Really?
I think they felt, you know what I mean?
They got recognized finally.
Like they felt like they kind of arrived. Like they've been working so hard to prove that they are that kind of team for so long. Then they did it. They didn't win, but they proved that they could hang. And I think it took their foot off the gas a little bit.
You know, the one thing though is that I don't think that when you go 6-7 one year and then you come back and you have great expectations on what you can be, I don't think the turnaround can be as dramatic as that. If that makes any sense, it's like I remember it was this mentality when Bill Callahan came here in 2004, and there was this mentality. Well, you know, Oklahoma's had a slide, and Alabama had a slide. You know, everybody goes through a slide, so maybe Nebraska's going through a slide. Sure. So Nebraska goes 5-6, and people are like, okay, there's a slide. Well, let's go back to winning 9-10 games and, you know, playing for national championships. And it doesn't happen that way. So I think part of it is that, you know, we're talking about, okay, if Nebraska's 10-2, I think that's a great sign that it's moving in the right direction, but I don't think it's a 10-2 team that's in the national conversation.
Right.
And I think that's what we found out with Ohio State. And, you know, the comparison with Iowa is probably a good one, because a lot of people thought Iowa last year, that was an aberration. It was like a perfect storm. That's how Iowa got to where it was. And I think that that's what you're talking about, is it's going to take a perfect storm to get in that. it's going to take more than a perfect storm to be in that conversation with Ohio State and Michigan.
Right.
And that's not going to happen in 1 year. It's probably not going to happen in two.
It's building. But I think by finishing 10-2, maybe even 11-2 for the first time since 2001, it kind of kickstarts the momentum. And I think folks can always say, well, yeah, look at Ohio State. But there's been some balance nationally when it comes to that Wisconsin game gave them a lot of respect.
Here's the irony for you. 11 wins. Nebraska wins out 11 wins. Nebraska, the last time it had 11 wins was when?
2001, and they lost Colorado.
62-36. Yeah. Another 62. And it wasn't 62-3, but I'll tell you what, coming
felt
away from
like
that
it.
Game, it felt like it because of where Nebraska
Barnett
was.
Barnett said something yesterday about the fact that it's never a good thing. He just didn't want to even mention the score because he just, the 62 points.
It was inexplicable because Nebraska's defense had given up six rushing touchdowns going into that game.
Like the whole year.
Chris Brown got six.
Yeah.
In the game.
Right.
That's Mike Babcock. HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Your chance coming up. We'll give away a six-month premium subscription to HailVarsity.com. Mark Kranak is here. Chris Schmidt. Standout Nebraska wide receiver Brendan Keddie is on the way as we are here in the rail yard. The tailgate continues on Hail Varsity.
How do I scratch my Nebraska Lottery scratch tickets? It depends on my...
Home Football Fridays, the rail yard with Hail Varsity. Now, back to the tailgate.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You're just getting done with volleyball, state volleyball, the PBA right across from us. Come on down. The Hail Varsity tailgate, Home Football Fridays continues. We're here till 6:30. Mike Babcock, Chris Schmidt, Mr. Mark Kranak, Brendan Keddie, come on down, number 84. And I was watching on Twitter today as there was memories of that roadie to Minnesota where Nebraska smoked Goldie. And, Brendan, you're getting heat. You're going the guy who caught you is 4'2". Searles chimes in saying, oh, he's 5'8". And, my man, let's set the record straight. What is your 40 time then? What is it now?
When I came out in my pro day, I ran 4.41 and 4.39. If you got me out of there today, I'd probably run about a 5.2 right now.
5.2.
It's real bad right now.
So you'd still win the table.
Yeah, close to, right?
He looks like he could catch, what was it, 105 yards against, Washington?
Yeah, 7 for 105.
See,
almost
had,
a touchdown. I got
7 for
again.
105 tomorrow.
Yeah,
jeez, right? You got it.
Well, Brendan, man, what's good? How you been? And thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Hey, no problem at all. Thank you guys for having me. But work and life, I was talking to him prior to coming up here, and I said, man, the real world sucks, man. I didn't know it was so serious. I said, I'd do anything for a Pell Grant check right now. But in all seriousness, I've been learning a lot growing up. But it's awesome. It's great. The real world being an adult is a good life. So.
Are you here?
I'm in Omaha. I live in Omaha. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. It'll be my year, December 4th.
They do a lot they actively recruit athletes.
They do. They do a lot. We got a lot of competitive guys that come in here, and they set the scale up in a cool manner for you to be able to come in every day and compete as far as sales and things like that. And the better you are at that, the faster you can move up in the company. So,
Brad, take us through a little bit of your time at Nebraska and kind of the theme was all you do is catch touchdowns. You blocked, too.
A lot.
You did. But remember the games against Minnesota. Remember the games against Washington. Remember the game against Oklahoma State. And I really remember the game against Texas in 2009 where, the offense was nothing going. And then there's your big run to put the guys ahead in field goal range on that third down where was it Lee, Zach Lee?
Yep, Lee. And it was a tad bit out of bounds. It's a tad bit on the on the fade route.
Yeah,
it was a tad bit out of bounds.
I'm saying the key catch on third and 80.
Yeah, to get it in
the field goal range. When you see Nebraska right now, man, what kind of sticks out to you? What do you think of 2016?
I'm excited. Those guys are competing hard each and every game. The recruiting class I'm excited about too as well. It looks like Mike is out there really getting after it on that aspect. I think it's really cool to see the receivers getting a bit of a swagger about themselves catching the ball. I'm a huge fan of Stanley Morgan. I like him. I like how explosive he is and the plays that he makes. And he's very elusive but very aggressive at the same time. So I'm excited about it. I enjoy watching him. I obviously, just like everyone here, I schedule my time out to watch the games too as well if I'm at work or if I'm off. So I'm excited about this team for sure.
Is it hard to watch, Brandon? Are you sitting there analyzing everything or what?
At times I do. I get into always situations that we played in, especially when I'm watching the games with Timo, Terrence Moore. I always go back to, you know, when we were there. But, of course, you miss it a lot. You miss being out there. You miss making plays. But you want those young guys to have fun and enjoy it just like you did, too, as well. But I miss it every day for sure.
How difficult is it, do you think, for guys, you know, they had a new coaching staff last year. Now it's the second year that they've been with these coaches. Mm-hmm. How much of a difference does that make, do you think?
I think it's huge. It's a whole year to build camaraderie, to build trust, to build belief. And I think you need that, too, as well. I think some players were super skeptical when they first got in and the big change happened. But you can see it in their play, that they're believing in the process, and they're competing every day, too, as well. So I'm hoping that we can bounce back from this, you know, bad loss last week. And if we can do that, we can end great for us.
Now, that's a thing. That's a thing. Getting blown out on those big stages, there's something weird. There's something mental happening,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the walls.
I completely agree.
Because this goes through coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. It goes through players. But it's kind of the same deal. Well, I mean, I guess people would probably all pitch in to give you $2 million if you knew this answer.
Right.
But what, is
three.
It, but what is it? How does that happen on those big stages?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you at all. I think I can't tell you. You seen from the first play, and when I seen the first play, I'm like, wow. I don't want to say that these guys weren't ready, and I don't want to put that on the coaching staff, especially not being around the program. But, I mean, after that, I just felt, after that first play, like, man, this could be over. And I think it's a confidence deflator, too, as well. And I think that's the biggest thing this week that they have to, I hope they focused on this week, is just getting that confidence back, still having that swagger, because you can mind, you know, play yourself and go back and forth and start to question certain things. So you got to stay grounded, stay believing in the process that you did prior to getting there, and just go out there and try to make a statement game in this Minnesota game.
Put yourself in the situation, though, because you're a player and you understand it. Not necessarily a 62-3 game, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's real easy to depersonalize those guys when a game happens mm-hmm. like that. And as a player, when you're out there, mm-hmm. I mean, you're feeling bad. It's not. It's tough, right?
And I try not to do that, too, as well. It's like being in the same situation, those guys. We've been there, the Ohio State game, my senior year. We got booed halftime. You know, that hurt. That's up there. Excuse my language that time. But it hurt to see that and to feel that. So I try not to do that as much because I understand it being that, putting that shoe on the other foot. Like I said, if these guys can come out and really make this a statement game, go out there and compete and show that, hey, you know, we did have an off week, but we're back. We're here now. So
Brandon Keddie's with us here in the Rail Yard Hail Varsity tailgate. And still time for you to get down here. Craft Beer Tasting mm-hmm. Bar is back.
And it's good, too. It's really
very
good.
Mm-hmm. Right, Brandon?
There are options.
There are some options there. So be sure to do that. Also, some barbecue meatballs from your friends at Kidwell. Some munchies. And, yes, beer with White Brewing Company. And Husker standout wide receiver Brandon Keddie is with us. Joel Makovica in the 5 o'clock hour.
I think he does lift.
Well, we're gonna, not as much anymore. No.
We're gonna have an arm wrestling match between Green and Makovica. You have to use both arms. Okay. Brandon, let's talk a little bit here to kind of follow up with the discussion as far as responding. Mm-hmm. And can you put into words you guys got blown out. I'm not. I hate going there, uh-huh. but I want to for a second.
Uh-huh.
Is it hard to bounce back because as a player, you have so much energy, you have so many time constraints, you're practicing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You hit a wall, whether mm-hmm. you're a freshman or a senior. Is it hard to bounce back after a loss like that?
It can be. It can be. Like I said, it could be a confidence deflator. I go back to my junior year when we played Texas here, the whiteout game, and it was so cracked up to be everything.
Yeah.
We were both. I think we lost one going into that game. Maybe I can't recall, but I know they were undefeated, and we lost. And we had some huge key drops. I had one too as well. So it hurt going through that week, hearing the things that you did here as far as with social media and things like that. But it's just something that you got to control what you can control. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, if all those guys sit around and do that each and every day, practice this week, control what you can control, do your job, and believe in each other, I think the outcome can be amazing. But it can be hard. It's just how you view it. So,
okay, so it's not impossible to come back from. Let's shift gears to Nebraska and their offense and the whiteout recruits that are out there. Mm-hmm. Coach Dubb, have you had a chance to...
I haven't met him. I like his energy, though. I love his energy.
The energy's
yeah.
great. Uh-huh. And then just think of the style of whiteout Nebraska's getting. Mm-hmm. Can it... You're in favor of it, I assume.
Uh-huh. For sure. I like what he's doing with those guys. And like I said, I think he's getting those guys a swagger about themselves, to the confidence to go out there and play and know that we're going to pitch the rock a little bit. And they're making plays when the ball is in the air. And that's one thing I do appreciate about Tommy is that he does, you know, put the ball out there for those guys to make a play. So it's exciting to see. I'm excited about the future with him, too, as well. And like I said, I'm a huge Stanley Morgan fan. And I like the way he plays the game. I really do.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you a little bit of you, right?
Yeah, I mean that in a sincere way and genuine way,
right.
Because I really enjoy watching. He's very, very physical, and you can see that he prides himself on being physical. And that was one thing for me that I wanted the defensive back to know, that I was going to be here every play. You know, I wanted to instill that. So
you've been around a lot of football. Now you're and you've been inside of the Nebraska mm-hmm. program. Now you can watch him from afar a little bit. How far away are they from, like, an Ohio State, an Alabama, a Michigan?
How
far away
is that? Are they?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
are they, like, they need to have 40 better players, or what's? Where do you
man, think? That's a very good question. I was talking to these guys earlier. I feel like we're just thin right now. I feel like our starters are talented, and they can play with a lot of teams. But I just think the backups you have to bring along. And I'm hoping with this recruiting class and things like that, and we get the guys that we need to get in here to compete each and every day to get it. We can build a culture around to be in Louisville, to be in Ohio State, to have that confidence. Because all the X's and O's are great, but you got to have that swagger about yourself, that demeanor to know, like, we're going to go in here, we're going to play ball. And they're going to feel this each and every play. So,
I think people don't understand. It's not easy.
It's not. But, once you're committed to what you're doing and you're going to work each and every day with a hard pail on and ready to get after it, it's mental. It's mental, and it's just saying, I'm going to be better than you. I'm going to be better than you in this play.
But, one of the things you bring up, Stanley Morgan, and his nickname's Officer Stan. That's what it was when he got
here. Oh, was it? Yeah, I didn't know that.
He's a very physical guy. He's a good – was that something that did you have to learn when you got here as a blocker? You talked about it earlier about you had to be able to block. That's one of the things that I think some people don't understand how important that is. Was that something that you caught when you came here, or did you have to learn it when you got here?
The physicality was always something that was in me. I always accepted that type of thing. It was just learning how to block once I got here, because in junior college you can get away with just being athletic and better than everyone. But here, Coach Gilmore, who recruited me to play, said, no, you're going to block or you're not going to play. So me and Niles used to have a joke all the time, man, we're just glorified blockers. This is so old. But, once we created a culture to where we enjoyed that. We enjoyed running back to the huddle and said, did you get a pancake? No, I got it. I got one. You don't really enjoy that together. So it's all want to. You got to want to be able to say, like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to impose my will on you each and every play, and my running back's going to score. You know, so.
Brandon Keddie is with us here, the Hail Varsity tailgate in the rail yard. Still time to come out. Craft beer tasting bar. Barbecue meatballs. Yes, please. Brandon, hang on with us. We'll keep you... Next segment, Mike Babcock is here. Mark Kranak is here. Chris Schmidt. And, yes, Joe Makovica in the next hour, the Friday forecast with Klausburn. It all happens. Hail Varsity continues from the rail yard, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Back to the Hail Varsity tailgate at the rail yard. Here's Smitty and Kranak.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Next hour, we'll give away a six-month premium online subscription. You'll need to call TJ back at the studios. I want to tell you about our friends at Zipline Brewing. Brewed in Lincoln, poured for all of Nebraska. Zipline started here in Lincoln. Gold medal winning copper alt. They're nationally recognized IPA. 40 different beers, one for every taste. And check out that tap room they have at 56th and Pine Lake. Some of us did before the Ohio State game, and I needed every drop. Modern German Beer Hall, 24 taps, community tables. It's awesome. And if you're coming into town for the Minnesota game and you're in central or western or northeast Nebraska, wherever you are across this great state, it's available. Zipline is in draft in six packs, of course, at your local grocery store or bottle shop. And visit the 56th and Pine Lake location, the new beer hall, or their West O tap room, your friends at Zipline. Okay, back with Brandon Keddie, Husker standout wide receiver. Mike Babcock, Chris Schmidt, and Mark Kranak. And Mr. Kranak, you, is that for the table? People,
what,
you,
the meatballs?
Kidwell has cooked up some barbecue meatballs.
I mean, I like you guys, but...
And there's two forks, one for each of your hands.
I'm not...
And you're going to do this thing here, right?
I mean, you guys just do this show. I'll take care of the meatballs.
You just ate a burger, dude.
I know. I hadn't eaten much today, man. I'm trying to catch up. You know, sometimes you just, like, for whatever reason, you just don't eat.
Yeah.
For a while. And yeah. So now I'm insatiably... I got an eating disorder, okay? Like, this is really a painful segment. Can we turn the page?
It's just this wrong.
Is just, yeah, Brandon's looking at this saying, what does this have to do with Minnesota? You know? I didn't know it was going to get this heavy.
Brandon, tell us about the Gophers. You played them quite a few times, and they are every inch as physical as you want to deal with. What do you remember about playing them, and what do you think about tomorrow?
One thing vividly I remember was how much they blitzed. They blitzed a lot, and we had put in a play called Rhino. It was a one-step wide receiver screen. If we seen the whole, I guess you could see the forefront of them blitzing, and we called that. So that's one thing that I do remember, that they were a physical football team too as well. I think this weekend, like I said, just coming back from a loss like that, they have to match their physicality from the beginning of the game because you can't start late. I don't think from a loss like that last week, you have to start and match that with those guys. And then we can kind of just see what happens and plays the game all like that way. So
here's a funny footnote that has nothing to do with anything except that it's 1983 and Nebraska has a scoring explosion team. Played at Minnesota, and Minnesota blitzed on every play, 84-13.
Was Holtz there?
Every play.
That's crazy.
No,
Three
he was
Holtz.
Not. They blitzed every down against a team that ran options. And even when Nebraska was trying to hold down the score, they weren't trying. The quarterback, they blitzed. There he went.
Didn't the backups get tired?
Yeah, yeah. They put the starters back in because
That's
the backups
crazy.
Were trying to run them down the field. So Minnesota is always blitzed. That's always been it.
That's crazy.
Sometimes it doesn't work.
Now, do you think there's anything to this? Do you think maybe Nebraska, after the Wisconsin game, lost their edge a little bit? Right, because they were kind of applauded for that effort. Like, man, you guys proved that you could play, and great job, team. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if there's any part of them that, and they've been working so hard to prove that they were that kind of team.
I think you
know what I mean?
No, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things that we could have beat them by a little bit more. It would have been a big confidence booster knowing that how battle-tested they were this whole season, LSU, those games prior to. For me, I wanted to see that because their offense wasn't as well. Wisconsin, we should have put a little bit more points and try to figure it out. But, like I said, at the end of the day, it's something that you deal with in the sport of football. And, like I said, I just hope they can overcome this weekend and figure it out for sure.
What did you enjoy most about Nebraska? I mean, obviously you had some great friendships. Mm-hmm. You put up some great numbers. You guys played four championships. Mm-hmm. So you have all of that there. But not to get too deep here, but
no, you're fine.
What were you expecting coming to Nebraska, and what did What makes you smile when you think back?
What was I? You know what? It's so crazy because I'm ashamed to say this, but I didn't know a lot about the tradition of Nebraska prior to coming here.
There's been a generation in champions.
Mm-hmm. And I grew up, like I said, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, so I watched all the Big Ten schools when I moved to Kansas City. So coming here and seeing how crazy the fans are about their football, I got a quick story about me. You know, I had a visit on my San Jose State game. I believe it was 08 they played. Mm-hmm. And I came to the spring game prior April, and my mom came with me. She's like, this is unbelievable, this many people are here to watch this game. Yeah. So once I came into the San Jose State game and I went through the tunnel walk, I think we went through first, I can't remember. And I had a name tag on, and I remember walking to the tunnel walk, I thought it was turned outside so people can see my name. So as I'm walking through the tunnel walk, people are screaming like, Brandon Kinney, come here. Don't go to LSU, come to this school, all these different things. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, yeah, they can see my name tag. And I look down, and my name tag is turned around. It's facing me. I'm like, wow, they know me. So that it gave me chills walking through the tunnel walk and not even playing and then also hearing those type of things. Once I seen that, I said, I think this is a school for me. It's not too far away from home. The biggest thing I say that I miss, even though the games and the fans and everything were fun, it was the locker room, man. It was so funny. We would nag all day in practice, like, my legs are tired, I'm ready to go. But then we get to the locker room, we'll play all day for like 2 hours afterwards in cold tub and shower. So I miss that time a lot. So when I see the guys that I did play with, it's always hugs and laughs because we had a great time together.
Who were some of the closest friendships?
Oh, my goodness. It's a lot of them, man. But the closest, I've been in like 5 weddings since I've graduated. I was in P.J. Smith's wedding. Marcus Mendoza got married. I was in his wedding. Thad Randall's getting married in April, so I'm going to be in his wedding. But, I mean, all those guys. Terrence Moore is another guy. Alonzo Whaley, Levante David, Niles. I mean, it's all of them. There's so many guys, man, that it's just love when you see these guys because you know what you've been through. So,
okay, last question I've got for you. Was there a, a local kid you knew in the dorms, next door neighbor named TJ?
I can't remember.
Be careful, because he can throw us off air. He's producing the show back at the station. He's like, say hi to BK.
I don't know. Okay.
Know you. He's like, well, we were neighbors in the dorms. Like, that doesn't matter.
If I seen him, I probably would know.
I'll pull him up here for you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would know.
And then once I show you that picture, if you could say, nah, I don't recognize that, that would be fantastic.
He will rock in the corner weeping. He always wore Garnett stuff.
I'm pretty sure I see this guy. I'm pretty sure I know.
So right now we're searching the identity of TJ Henning and his best friend Brandon Kinney in the dorms.
We're looking at a computer. That's good radio right there.
No, I know.
Yes. And he came out to Cohan one day too, and I seen him and we talked. Yeah, I remember. Okay. I know if he's listening. I remember.
He claims to be this epic baller. So we love you, TJ. You do a great job. I had to bring that up. The guy looked at me seriously and said, "Say hi to BK." We will. And we did it now on radio, and he's laughing.
Hi to you, brother. I hope all is well, man.
You know, Brandon was always. This is what I remember about Brandon. He was always smiling. He is always in a good mood.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he wasn't in a good mood, but it looked like he was.
And that's
he was always really an accommodating guy. He always enjoyed
the other
guys
thing
like
about
that.
TJ is I don't know that TJ went out of the dorm room too often. Just kidding, sir.
It's all right. TJ's getting ripped.
That's all right. I love him. Brandon Kinney, you're awesome, man.
Hey, thank you guys.
Again.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Brandon Kinney.
Thank you.
In the rail yard. Hail Varsity here till 6:30. Brandon Kinney, thanks to him, and Joel Makovica is going to be joining us next hour. Mike Babcock, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Home Football Fridays, the Rail Yard, with Hail Varsity. Now, back to the tailgate.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, many thanks to Brandon Kinney. Awesome dude, great receiver. Husker fullback. It is, and TJ's, I heard him. I was saying TJ didn't venture out of the dorms too often. We will get Joel Makovica here in about 10 minutes. Friday forecast comes up. Brandon Vogel will join us on the phone. Klausburn will join us on the phone from Parts Unknown. And then Gary Novotny of Gary Michaels Clothiers is on site. I don't know if that's a plum sport coat, if we go purple, but it's pretty awesome looking.
Eggplant.
Egg, yes. Well
You're
done.
Welcome.
Okay, over under on rushing yards tomorrow for Mitch Leidner. It needs to be what? I say he ran. He's been running
a lot more lately.
He has been because he's been, despite their four-game win streak, he's been in a slump. He has been. He threw for 300 yards last year. First and only time he'll
Can
do that in
that?
His life.
I know.
But in all honesty, he ran for maybe a yard. It might have even been minus one. Does Nebraska emphasize stopping that part of the game? 2 years ago, he ran for 100 on that zone read game where the defensive end would collapse and he'd go around the right side. So first and foremost here, I say if they keep him below, if they keep him below 60 and that yards per carry is at three or so, I think that's a win for Nebraska. I think that needs to happen. Their tailback is incredible. So obviously it's, yeah,
they
stop
got a
the
couple
run.
That'll come at you.
They no, they do. I love what Rodney Smith does, but Shannon Brooks looks like Rex Burkhead to me.
Well, but I think
stylistically,
Smith's a little more shaky. Like he has more shake and bake.
He's like their old back Cobb.
Yeah, he's the guy that doesn't need everything to go right to get yards.
Yeah.
The other guy's a little more. He's strong, but I wouldn't say he's very elusive. But either way,
I think he's shifty. I think Brooks is shifty. Babbers, you got a yardage total for Leidner tomorrow?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I probably go along with what you said there. 60. He's not going to go off on the Husker defense, I don't think. I mean, like I said earlier, I think it's going to be a slug it out kind of a deal. I don't think that he's going to be streaking down the field in any way, shape, or form.
I think it's pounded out
and see what happens by the fourth quarter. See who holds up the best. That's what it's going to be.
The thing that goes. Into that is when some of those 3 and 4 yard runs turn into 12 and 15.
Exactly. And he's 6'4", 240. I mean, he's a pretty good sized guy. So,
yeah.
We'll see how it is in the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be a fourth quarter game.
Krainak, tell me here, what do you got number wise for Leidner?
On the ground.
Yes.
If you can hold him to 60, I think you're doing
okay. So I was right with that 6-0 number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's about, yeah.
We'll dive into much more Nebraska, Minnesota. We invite you down. The Hail Varsity tailgate continues through 6 on the radio side. And the Q&A with Mr. Babcock and Krainak from 6 to 6:25. Your chance at Nebraska, Minnesota tickets, Husker gear, Hail Varsity gear. And come play some cornhole, a craft beer tasting bar, barbecue, meatballs, food, yes. Don't forget the Friday forecast next hour. Joel Nakavica is up next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to the Hail Varsity tailgate at the Rail Yard. Every home football Friday. Now here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Krainak.
Great to have you back, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Coming up this hour, Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity, getting his thoughts on the game tomorrow. Mike Babcock hanging out, thanks to Brandon Kenny and his time in Hour 1, standout Husker wide receiver. His buddy and former defensive lineman Terrence Moore is with him, so we may bribe Terrence to come up on stage. Husker All-Century fullback, NFL standout, and one of the best ever to play fullback, and many will say the best at Nebraska. Not Jeff, but Joel. And I the over-unders.
Yeah.
What did you set him at?
I think it was four.
Four?
Yeah, at least four today.
Okay, at least four. And
do you say that a lot?
He sized me up in a previous show and said, yeah, you're going to screw up.
I think you started it with calling me Jeff.
And I did not do that, not
Chris,
on air.
I mean, you're going to lie on air.
Well, yes.
That's what radio is just a big lie on air.
One big lie at all.
Made a whole career out of it.
Joel Nakavica is here. And stop by Nakavica Physical Therapy to say hi to him for sure. Mark Krainak.
Which
Mike
one?
Babcock.
He's got like 40 of them.
There's two in Lincoln now.
Yeah.
We're trying to get as big as this radio station.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well done.
And that's why we're advertising with you guys, because you have everybody listening.
Well, I appreciate you.
And you're welcome.
There's a lot of people out there spraining their knees now just so they could get in.
Yeah, I'm out there kicking them.
Joel, what do you think? Tomorrow we'll start there with this Minnesota matchup. And last time we talked, you were 1,000% sure, and you were right in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Nebraska was going to blow out Indiana. It looked like that was going to happen, but they held on to win. What do you think of the Big Red tomorrow? What do you think of the Big Red so far this year?
You know, it's a great question, and this is a pivotal game for Nebraska, and I truly believe, because this is a spot in the season where we've come off 2 weeks of losses and one pretty embarrassing loss that we have to right the ship. And if you don't right the ship tomorrow with a good Minnesota team that has a lot of confidence, it could be scary the rest of the year, because this is a time to where Nebraska can right the ship and play well tomorrow and beat a Minnesota team, giving them confidence going in the last two games to finish 10-2. Or if you lose this game, you know, you have a Maryland and Iowa on the road is going to be tough. So this is one of the most pivotal games of the season for Nebraska.
Why do you think it keeps happening, by the way?
You know,
The blowout, because this now spans through coaches,
yeah,
through different rosters.
You know what? One of the big things when everybody asks me that, I talk about recruiting a lot, because I think it is a lot about the talent you're bringing here, and this is the bottom line. And I told people this, and I'm gonna tell your listeners this, that there was a kid that wanted to come to Nebraska that we didn't recruit. The old staff did not recruit, and his name was Joe Burrow. And Ohio State comes in and gives this kid a scholarship. Tim Beck, who is the coach here, would not recruit this kid. And he wanted, his dad played here, his brothers played here. He wanted to come here. And they were
based on his fourth quarter, it looks like he could play
absolutely
here.
Absolutely. And so Urban Meyer, Ohio State, goes and recruits this kid and brings him to Ohio State, and he's 6-for-6 against us. And Tim Beck is now reaping the rewards of not recruiting this kid. So there's a lot of things that have happened in the past in Nebraska, and one of the biggest is we have to recruit better, and we have to get in kids that can compete at the highest level, and that starts with our offensive and defensive line, because that's where, like I said, I think our skill position can compete for championships in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree.
It starts at our offensive and defensive lines, and we have to do a better job recruiting there.
Yep. Joel, do you think it's more difficult in the internet age with the Twitter and Facebook and all the things that go into it now with recruiting? Is it more difficult for Nebraska to do that, or do you think that Mike Riley and his staff are moving in the right direction in terms of that?
You know what, I think they're moving in the right direction. I think, you know, honestly, I think that helps Nebraska, because anytime you can get in touch with kids on the East and West Coast, and we're not a heavily populated state, so I think that helps Nebraska being able to get on Twitter or get on Facebook or be able to text these recruits and be in the technology age. I think that helps Nebraska, because we can reach, that gives us a bigger reach, because we're not in those heavily populated areas like Miami-Dade County, where, you know, you can throw a stone and find 12 Division I athletes there. So we have to be able to recruit nationally, but with that being said, we also have to recruit Nebraska hard and understand that there are good players in Nebraska. And I think the myth over the last 10 or 15 years is there's no Division I athletes here. But Nebraska kids mature later, and they're going to be works in progress that you have to understand that you get them on campus, they will play their heart out for us, but you have diamonds in the rough, and you have to get those kids to stay here. There's plenty of the Drew Ott kid that went to Iowa. There's the Stoltenberg kid that went to Kansas State. Those type of kids that would be on our offense and defensive line, you have to keep here, and then you have to recruit nationally. But with the technology, I think that helps Nebraska.
Yeah, that was going to be part two of my question. Nebraska still needs that balance. You still got to get the Nebraska.
You absolutely have to.
That's the foundation of your program.
It's any foundation of any college football program. When I briefly coached with the University of Virginia for 1 year, that was the biggest thing. Virginia Tech was in our backyard, and they were good. But our biggest thing was we had to out-recruit Virginia Tech for the state of Virginia. And that's where you start any great program, is you, and they talk about it all the time, you set up borders in your own state. And with that being said, for Nebraska, it's got to be setting up a border within 100 to 125, 150 mile radius to where that's Kansas City. Those are places like that, the higher, denser populations, but it starts with recruiting within 100 miles.
When it comes to Nebraska, and I've seen a kid that's playing Omaha North tonight, Chris Walker, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, doesn't come off the field, a beast, great player. I think he's big time. Coach Bull thinks he's big time. He's going to Wyoming. Yeah. He took an official. What do you do if you're in Nebraska because of the day and age you're in when it comes to tuition, when it comes to the Mountain West or Solich or Kansas State coming in and getting kids that Nebraska is waiting on as contingencies? Mm-hmm. What do you do? Because you're not, I mean, you had 3/5 of the O-line the last 3 weeks start and crank out wins or get into overtime. But for the most part, as families can't afford it. So what do you do as a staff and what do you do as a player? You're a homegrown kid that wanted to play here.
I mean, that's a great question because, like I said, we've lost a lot of kids that, you know, Nebraska hasn't recruited. The Harrison Phillips that now starts for Stanford.
Yeah, he started he played major snaps as a true freshman.
Yes, and then he started as a sophomore. So, and those are big offensive, defensive lineman kids. What Nebraska has missed the boat on in the last either 10 to 15, since actually Coach Osborne was here, is Coach Osborne knew all the high school coaches. And he knew everyone by first name, and he would be in all the high school schools. So then they would push kids to say, hey, if Nebraska even comes in late, that's where you're going, is you're going to the University of Nebraska. And that is the biggest difference. And I know the principal at Elkhorn South, and I ran into him when Bo was our head coach, and I was talking to him because they had, you know, a couple good players. But me moving to Omaha, I knew this is the place that everybody wanted to live and everybody wanted to send their kids to, is Elkhorn South when it was starting. So I knew they were going to get the population, they were going to get a lot of these kids. Eventually, they were going to be really good. And this was, you know, 4 years ago. So I talked to him and I said, hey.
They're really good.
Yeah, and now they're really good. So I talked to him and I said, hey, has Bo been in there? And he's like, no. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he's like, you know what, but I don't hold that against him because we're not very good right now, Joel. And I said, that's not the point. I said, he comes in there now and meets your coaches and starts talking to your coaches, because you have to understand they're going to be dynamite in 4 or 5 years and they're going to have Division I players. And at that time, you already have the relationship. You already have the inroads built. So then you can just call them up and say, hey, who do you got that I can come recruit? And then they start pushing kids to the university. So until we get back to that, to where we have such great relationships with high school coaches in this state, we're going to lose kids to Wyoming. We're going to lose kids to Frank at Ohio. We're going to lose to Kansas State, because those kids will no longer walk on unless those high school coaches have an in at the Nebraska coaches, and they're pushing those coaches to go, or those kids to go here.
Excuse me, Joel Makovicka with us on the Hail Varsity radio show down at the Rail Yard for the Hail Varsity tailgate. You know, the further you get away from it, so much talk about 90s Nebraska, obviously, as the gold standard. You were a part of that. The thing that maybe, I don't know if it gets enough run, and I just want your take on it, and it becomes really clear after you watch a team like Wisconsin, the culture of the program, which was sort of like player-led, was so on point then. And if you think about it, is that maybe one of the biggest missing cogs for Nebraska, is that there's not that readily identifiable player-led culture?
Well,
where it doesn't even matter who's coaching.
Well, and I think you're talking about just an identity to your football team, and Wisconsin honestly has an identity. So,
and it doesn't matter who's coaching.
Exactly.
Him.
Even the guy from Gary Anderson from Utah State, he came with
a pistol shotgun.
Yes, and he won at Wisconsin and went to kind of a power running game. But I think the difference is Wisconsin has this attitude and has this identity that says, we are just going to run the football no matter who comes in here. So they've recruited to that system for the last 25, 30 years. That's what Coach Osborne did. I mean, he had his system, and he got so good at understanding which players fit that system. We had receivers that didn't get recruited by anybody in the country. But Coach Osborne knew they will come in and they will be animals blocking at wingback position, at receiver's position, and they will catch enough balls and create enough mismatches that we can throw the ball a little bit, but it's about a running game and playing defense. And I think, to your point, that's what's got to happen is when you have that identity, it's much easier to recruit like that for so many years and get a niche at recruiting, and then you can withstand maybe some coaching changes and those kind of things. And I think that's what Wisconsin has done really well. Because if anybody sitting up here, if they would have said Wisconsin was where they're going to be right now,
no, I mean, not their schedule.
Absolutely.
No.
Playing LSU and all these guys. I mean, they had an unbelievable schedule, and they're going to go to the Big Ten Championship.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
Don't you think it takes time, though? Like, I think what Mike Riley and his staff would like to do offensively, for example, they haven't had an opportunity to recruit to that system yet. I think a year from now the offense is going to look dramatically different because they adapted to what they had here. They said they were going to do that.
Yep.
But now they're recruiting for a system that's going to look differently.
There's no question.
And it's not a quick fix,
yes,
right?
There's no question. And college football has turned into a quick fix with Nick Saban and all these guys that are turning around programs very quickly. So it is a win-now business. But I think you have to give coaches at least 4 or 5 years because, again, this is the recruiting class. Because the first year, it's tough to recruit. Once you just get hired and you're behind the eight ball and all these kids coming from Oregon State, to get that first class is very difficult. Now you have your feet under you for the second class, and so I technically say that's their first class. So now this will be their second class, and I think it's starting off very well. Now if they can finish the season and keep these kids and maybe get a few at the end of the year that tops off this class, they're going to have a great class. But it like I said, it starts with recruiting, and that's what I always feel. I mean, there's talent takes you so far, and then coaching takes you over the top. And in the same way as coaching takes you so far and talent takes you over the top, you have to have enough talent in college football to compete with an Iowa State and a Michigan. That's what I think they need to do, and they need time to do it. And we need to give them one or two more years to see that they're moving in that direction. Because you all know up here, we can't keep getting beat 62-3. Even if we go,
I'm shocked that happened based on how well they did against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I know Wisconsin's not the talent level of Ohio State, but Wisconsin finds a way to make up for it.
Yeah. Well,
Wisconsin
took Ohio State to, was it overtime?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what they do. And it's, you know, you can talk.
But to go from one extreme where you should have won to that score, it's the meltdown, the snowball.
Well, see, and this is a good thing about what happened to me in the Ohio State game is I didn't get to witness the carnage that happened in Columbus, so I didn't even watch the game. I was actually in Europe, so I didn't get to.
I was backpacking in Europe.
I was backpacking through the mountains, the Swiss Alps, so I didn't get to see it. But I tried to follow it on my phone a little bit, and it was like 2 a.m. there. And listen, just from watching it there, we threw a pick six. And we go down 7-0, and then we respond to where we drive them, and 7-3. And I sat there and I said, hey, that's a great response for throwing a pick six right away. We go 7-3, and then all of a sudden the wheels fall off. And not seeing it even when I got back and those kind of things, what I'm assuming happened is all of a sudden a better team got momentum, and it just started snowballing, and then Tommy gets hurt, and then all the air goes out of the building for Nebraska, and it's just like, all right, we're done.
That's a great nutshell of what happened. And then you saw Samuel, their slot guy, their H-back, that was a running back that caught and got about 20 touches. And that's the thing that can't happen tomorrow, guys, is Ohio State got 2 to 3 yards after contact every time they got wrapped up. Nebraska was there, much like they were against Wisconsin. 80% of the time Nebraska wrapped and there was no yards after contact. There was 3 to 4 yards after contact, or the guy just broke away and scored. Tomorrow is going to be just killer with this beast known as Minnesota coming in wanting to bloody your nose every down.
And the biggest thing for a Minnesota team, and they haven't played anybody in this 4-game or 5-game win streak they have, but they're confident.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way, especially where Nebraska's a wounded animal right now. Mm-hmm. And their back's against the wall. They're a little wounded animal, and so they need to come out and play like that because Minnesota's got some confidence. And this season that looked so promising for 7 games, It could go bad in a hurry if we don't come out tomorrow.
I think that is such a key point in Minnesota's plan for the West. Joe, we'll run you down here in a little bit.
Okay.
We do the Friday forecast.
All right. It's cold.
Gary Novotny and Gary Michaels, Clothiers, is up. And don't forget the one and only Klausburn. He is next on Hail Varsity. The Friday forecast on the way as Hail Varsity here live in the rail yard.
Who's Klausburn?
Home Football Fridays, the rail yard with Hail Varsity. Now back to the tailgate.
Back with you. We are here in the rail yard. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Before the hour is done, a free six-month premium subscription to HailVarsity.com. We will give that away. Jacob Padilla is on deck. And it is that time for the Friday forecast, our weekly Friday forecast, presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. To my right, Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels, Clothiers, Nebraska's premier store for men and men's clothing. It is just a treat to have Novot, as we call him, here, retailer of the year, top five nationally. And if you were watching election coverage, you saw Amir right next to Novot, Gary Novotny. Novot, how you doing?
Doing great, guys.
Welcome, right. Sir.
I just want to know why you guys have stocking caps on, vest. You guys look like you guys are going to go hunting.
Well, I mean, we've been here for like 2 hours, and we're trying to, you know, stay warm. I'm actually layered.
Coat. Okay.
I'm layered.
Yeah, I like, what is that? Is that eggplant?
No, that's what I said.
You know what? You're very close to that.
What is it?
Eggplant.
Yes. Eggplant. I called that.
I know you did, but
he was
taking credit for it.
I think you were saying lilac before.
Our dear friend Klausburn, and if we have connection with Brandon Vogel, let's do that too, and let's get the music cranked up, TJ, as we get in to the Friday forecast. Do we have Brandon Vogel at Hail Varsity with us?
I am here.
All right, we have him. Do we have Klausburn from Parts Unknown?
Yes, I am here, and I can tell you that I'm on my way to San Antonio for the Notre Dame and Army game, because if there's one thing Americans can all agree on, is we want to support our armed forces, and we all want to see Notre Dame lose, and I plan on doing both.
I like it. Let's get started. I have been sweating this week about this ball game, this selection. Based on last week, Penn State -7 at Indiana. And we'll start off with Brent. Go ahead, Klausburn. All right. Vogue, start us off. What happens here?
Yeah, it's tough to go against Penn State in this spot. Maybe a month ago I would have, but the Nittany Lions are playing pretty well. They might have the best weapon in the Big Ten and Saquon Barkley. I think they get it done here, 31-21.
I'm in agreement with you, Vogues. I think Barkley's the difference. I think Penn State will win in a shootout, 35-31. Too much Barkley, not enough Indiana, kind of same song and dance for the Hoosiers. Krainak.
I'm more inclined to go with Brandon. I like 31-24, so it's a push on the -7. But 31-24, Penn State on the road, getting it done.
Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels, Clothiers, are you going Penn State or Indiana?
Gentlemen, I got to take Penn State. Defense looks good. They can run up the score. They've been on a roll, 7-2. I like Penn State, 35-14.
Okay, so he likes Penn State by a lot. Klausburn, Nittany Lions or Hoosiers?
Well, before I get to my pick, I wanted to share a little fact that I learned this week. And a lot of people wonder what a Hoosier is. And I found out from a friend from Indiana that it goes back to the pioneer days when they'd be sitting around at their property and they'd hear something out in the woods and they'd yell out, "Who's there?" So, for instance, "Who's there?" "Oh, it's your neighbor. Oh, come on in." Or, "Who's there?" "It's John Green's barber. Go away." Or, "Who's there?" "The Happy Valley Police. Is there anything we can sell?" So, just so you guys can learn something, I wanted to be educational this week. And I'm going to take Penn State to win this one a little bigger, 31-17.
Ole Miss is at A&M, minus 10, the battle of backup quarterbacks. I think Ole Miss has been close. Their backup is maybe a little bit better, maybe, I don't know. But I just think Ole Miss goes into Aggie land and finds a way because it's not gone their way. And give me Ole Miss 38, give me A&M 31. I think Ole Miss wins this. Cranack.
You know, these are the two teams that I probably trust the least in college football. But somebody's got it. I thought A&M was a fraud all along. I think Ole Miss is also a fraud, but I think you're right. I think they go in and get it done with a very disappointed Texas A&M team that starts to crumble. But I don't think they cover. It'll be Ole Miss 31, Texas A&M 28.
Brandon Vogel, what happens here?
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat. You know, I think everyone agrees that Ole Miss is record. They're better than their record at this point. Surprising decision today. They're burning a red shirt on a true freshman quarterback to play in this game. I think A&M wins, but doesn't cover. I'll take the Aggies 28-20.
Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels, Clothiers, Ole Miss, or Giggum?
Gentlemen, I'm kind of right in the same ballpark. I think, you know, you got both quarterbacks out, and both teams kind of struggled as of lately. So I see A&M's going to win the ball game 27-21, no cover.
Klausburn, what happens here, Ole Miss or A&M?
Well, first of all, I've got a question that maybe Gary can answer. It's a fashion question, and I'm trying to figure out what a Southern football fan's obsession is with wearing fishing shirts to football games. It's not like you're going to catch anything on a football Saturday. Well, unless you go home with a member of the A&M student section, but that's a whole different... That's a whole different situation. So if you've got any insight on that, Gary, I'd love to hear it. As far as this game goes, I agree. I think A&M's fraud, and I think Ole Miss wins this one 31-21.
Got a move here. LSU minus 7 at Arkansas. I like Boss Hogg. LSU's got too much damage from losing again to Bama, even though it was close. That's a rough back-to-back matchup right there. And then you got to go to Arkansas. Give me the Hogs 28-21 over LSU, an outright win. Cranack.
Yeah, you like Arkansas going against a more of a traditional offense and a traditional defense. They've struggled against some of the spread teams, so I think they'll play pretty well against LSU. But I got LSU actually coming out and winning this one with a obviously great ground attack. We'll go with LSU 17, Arkansas 14.
Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels, Clothiers.
Yeah, two ways to look at this, guys. You know, LSU had Alabama down to the wire with about 3-4 minutes left. And the scenario you look at, it could be the same situation Nebraska had coming from playing tough in Wisconsin and then not doing so well. But at the end of the day, I still like LSU to win the thing 24-10.
Brandon Vogel, what happens?
Yeah, it's going to be the game everyone expects. Rough tumble between the tackles. But it is November. Brett Bielema is 6-3 in November since the last three seasons. I'll take Arkansas with an outright win, too, 21-20.
Klausburn, LSU or Arkansas?
Well, if there's one thing that we've learned this week, it's that you can never really predict how things are going to go for a generally unlikable person from Arkansas. So I think I'll take LSU in this one, 21-17, but I'm not very confident.
All right. USC is in Washington. The Huskies are in the top four. They are rolling. They are loaded on offense. SC's better, but not good enough. Give me the Trojans 38. Give me, hold on. Wow, backpedaling. Give me Washington 38. Give me USC 28. A cover, but no win for SC. Cranack.
We talk about those teams that have a culture. Washington has a culture now. They've got it together.
I think they're humming. I think they're going to blow USC out. Okay. I think they get them by about 17 points. I'll take Washington 41, and I'll take USC 24.
Okay. Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels Clothiers, SC or Washington?
Washington, way too much. Going away, not even going to be close. 52-31, easy win.
Okay. Brandon Vogel, what happens?
USC is playing at a really high level now. I'm tempted to take them, but Washington's been sort of off the charts good at home. So I'll go with Washington as well, 42-30.
Clausburn, SC or the Huskies?
Well, I'd like to think the USC could cover, but as Mark Kradak can tell you, Trojans are never 100% reliable. So, I'll take Washington in this one as well. Pretty big, 42-21.
We're on to Minnesota, Nebraska. Gophers minus, make that Nebraska minus 7. I'm all over today. I think Nebraska wins. I think they bounce back. I think they tackle better. I think Tommy starts and is the spark. And the offensive line health is also a major reason. Nebraska wins tomorrow 24-13. Kranak.
I do not like this game at all for Nebraska. I don't like where they're at mentally right now. I don't like this type of Minnesota team that has something to play for coming in. I think Minnesota actually gets the W.
What?
I do. 27-24.
Kranak says Minnesota 27-24. Throw items when we're off stage at him later. Vogel, what happens?
Yeah, another one that sort of seems destined to play out exactly to script. We know what Minnesota is at this point. Can Nebraska play that game? I actually like them to bounce back here, but it's going to be a nail biter. I'll take the Huskers 28-23.
Okay, so Vogue says Nebraska win, but no cover. Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels.
O-line's back, guys. If Tommy plays, that's the key factor.
Yep.
Tommy plays, we win 28-17.
Okay.
If we have the backup quarterback, and no disrespect at all, but he doesn't have near the legs, I would say we're going to barely eke it out, 20-17.
Crossburn, about 90 seconds, go.
Well, I think we need to predict this game. We need to go to the tail of the tape between the two states. Nebraska has Dorothy Lynch. Minnesota has mayonnaise in their Jell-O salad. Nebraska has Runza's and Fairberry brands and Long Wells and Colby Ridge popcorn and all that good stuff. And Minnesota has all the state, but they cover it in cream of mushroom too. So I think if you look at it objectively, Nebraska wins this one going away, 28-14.
Clausburn, we will talk to you next week. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Okay.
Back to the Hail Varsity tailgate at the Rail Yard. Here's Schmitty and Kranak.
Thanks to many of you who stopped by. If you're on your way, we're here till 6:30. The show ends at 6, but Mike Babcock and, of course, Mark Kranak at Q&A. Brandon Kenny with us earlier. And Joel Makovica was with us to start off hour two. Craft Beer Tasting Bar backed by Longwell's. While supplies last, barbecue and meatballs from Kidwell.
Heated lamps.
Well, I was getting there.
Yeah.
There are heated lamps down here. You've been to the Rail Yard. You've been to the Rail Yard in the fall. You've been to the Rail Yard during the wintertime. Heated lamps. Come on out. Enjoy yourself. Still a gorgeous fall night. My kid had his birthday yesterday, and he's wussing out on me. He's inside somewhere, so
yeah.
It's a little frustrating. We welcome in Jacob Padilla of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Just does an amazing job covering practice all over Husker hoops. Jacob, good to see you again, man. How are you?
I'm good. I appreciate the kind words. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming by. And let's start with Nebraska this week and Nebraska practice this week. And we still don't have official word yet from the university on Tommy Armstrong, but I think the consensus is he'll go, he'll start, he'll be cleared. We're going to move forward with that thought. So what are you anticipating from Nebraska in the turnaround that needs to happen from last week?
I think it starts with the offensive line. We're getting some of those guys back at practice. We're seeing Tanner Farmer is back there, and big one, Gerald Foster.
Yeah, that's, that blows me away.
Yeah. I guess, fortunately, it was the MCL and not the ACL or anything else in his knee, so he's but his return, his recovery has been remarkable, and that's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing the most in this game is what kind of an impact he can have and how much they actually use him. They're not quite sure about it.
I think he'll start, won't he?
I think they'll.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, they're still going with Han to start, I'm guessing. But I think they're going to try to get him some rotational snaps in there just to see what he can go. They don't know about his conditioning yet. That's what, their biggest worry. But I think he will play, and it'll be interesting to see what they can do with him.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people are excited about it, but we have no idea how that guy plays because he's hardly ever played. You haven't seen a lot of DJ Foster. But as a guy that's covered practice, you have seen him. Not that you're an offensive line expert, but what does he do well?
Well,
what does Nebraska's offense look like with him in there versus when he's not?
Well, I can go back to my experience covering him playing high school basketball, and that dude set the meanest screen I've ever seen in my life. He is a big dude, and he is powerful. So I think he's going to really help in the run game. Being able to run behind him, and hopefully Nick Gates is continuing to progress there off that left side. You think he might be able to get a little bit more push in that compared to the 6'7" Han, who might have a little bit more trouble getting leverage in there.
Yep.
So I think that's the biggest benefit of having him in there.
What did you notice body language and mindset-wise, if you can comment on it this week from the guys after practice? I mean, are they... they're ready to turn it around and get back at it, or is that emotional wall, is it a danger zone based on who you're playing and what you're coming off of?
I talked to more of the coaches this week than players, but the consistent theme between all of them were we're moving on. It's behind us. It's time to move on. We can't let Ohio State beat us again. And the players seem to kind of reflect that message. I think they want to get past that last game as much as anybody. So I think they're going to come out and re-energize, looking to get back on track.
Let's switch over to Nebraska hoops if we can, because you are like a hoops like genius. You know what to look for when you're watching basketball. You saw this team open up against Chadron. It's Chadron, right? That's not very good competition, obviously. But what did you like from a skill set perspective, from a body language perspective? Who stands out to you? And I think we probably have to start with Isaiah Roby. What are Nebraska fans going to see with that kid?
What's interesting is Tim Miles talked today and said he thought Roby, who led the game in scoring, played really well overall statistically. Miles thought it was just an okay game. He said Roby is even better in practice this week, and because he's still working his way back in after missing so much time. Because he was out for months trying to recover from a stress reaction.
Right.
So he's still working his way back, but he's a multi-skilled player who can make an impact on offense and defense. And those guys are really nice to have, those two-way players that can make an impact in many different ways.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did like from that exhibition game, just in terms of the overall team, is, Miles sends out his halftime tweets, or has somebody send it out. One of the things he focused on was the ball movement, because I think they had something like 9 assists and 7 turnovers. Or it might even be reversed, I think, actually. 7 assists and 9 turnovers. Second half, they came out 13 assists, 4 turnovers. So they kind of took that message to heart and really shared the ball better. Glenn Watson and Ty Webster had 10 assists and no turnovers between them. So that's what you want to see out of your lead guards.
How's Tim feeling about the year? I mean, you're young, but you're really talented. The schedule's not easy. I mean, it's a big boy schedule, obviously, not only just in Big Ten, but when you have some of the ACC and Kansas on the line. And is he optimistic about this young group growing up? I mean, the buzz is not what it was coming off the tournament in this town either.
Yeah, his message is always, he always starts out optimistic. He said that at the beginning of the year, just put out the goals, NCAA tournament, winning team, that's what he tries to do every year. So he's not trying to necessarily temper expectations just because they're young, but I think that from my perspective, that's probably going to be a good idea because, like you said, they do play some really tough teams in this non-conference. And the Big Ten is probably going to be somewhat down this year compared to in the past, but that doesn't mean it's a walk. It's going to be easy. So there, I think what we want to see from this team is consistent progress. That is how you're going to be able to judge success with this team, more so than any arbitrary win total or anything like that. Do they get better as the season goes on? Do they play well together? Do they grow together as a team?
Winding down this segment, Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Jacob, does Nebraska football get better tomorrow? What do you think?
Yeah, I did. I picked them to win, I think, by 10 or so, that range. I do think they're going to rebound because Minnesota, I just don't think they're that good. And if Nebraska can come out, focus, and actually get win that the battle in the trenches with that offensive line, if the offensive line can play better, I think that just kind of will spark the rest of the team.
Folks can find Jacob on Twitter at @JacobPadilla_. Great coverage in Nebraska and football and basketball and all things with Hail Varsity. Speaking of Hail Varsity, amazing content, premium content, and message board access for you. And we are going to give you away a six-month premium subscription right now. And your caller number 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, a six-month premium subscription to HailVarsity.com. And if you don't win, sign up anyway. 30-day trial if you go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe. So caller 6, TJ will get you hooked up with that six-month premium subscription to HailVarsity.com. Mark Kranach, Chris Schmidt, Jacob, thanks so much. We will be back to wind down the radio side of Hail Varsity here in the Rail Yard.
Home Football Fridays, the Rail Yard, with Hail Varsity. Now, back to the tailgate.
Coming up, your chance, Nebraska-Minnesota ticket before we say goodbye. Mark Kranach, Chris Schmidt, great show today. Thanks so much to Joel Makovica, Brandon Kenny, Mike Babcock, Jacob Padilla. And it's almost here with Nebraska-Minnesota. And one of these games that you thought and you know will be tough, but from a circle standpoint, really wasn't one you were getting up for. I'm up for it for tomorrow because, I mean, it's going to be a one of the better games in college football tomorrow. And Nebraska, it'll really show their resolve. That's been a focal point all week. How will they respond, especially after a bad loss? And I think a team like Minnesota, who's not great, but, man, they do what they do. And you earn it against them. I feel good for Nebraska, and I love the fact that it's a November night game. I mean, I'll be inside. It's all good. But I'm just saying a November night game is it's going to be cool. It's the way Big Ten football should be.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's no stranger to Minnesota night football, be it on the road or if they're hosting. They hosted Ohio State a few years back in November. That's one thing about Minnesota is these guys haven't won a division but they've played Ohio State extremely tough.
Right.
They could have beat Michigan a year ago. They're there with Wisconsin. They're just extremely...
Wisconsin light.
They are. They don't have the athletes Wisconsin has, but they have some ball players that just love to line up. What are you telling me? The Swedish armada?
I mean, basically. I guess I've sort of discounted the fact that tomorrow's a night game. That helps. That helps Nebraska. Nebraska at night at home is a different
18 straight.
A different program. It's a different team when they play.
Well, there'll
at
be night energy. I mean, there'll be energy from the fans.
When's it been since USC? What was the last big? Oh, Missouri. Missouri in like 2008.
Yeah, that's the last time they lost.
Lost at home.
The booger
night.
Eater.
Right. I think that was the booger night, wasn't it? Or
yes.
No, that was the year before. It was daytime. Or no, I can't remember.
It was last year.
I can't remember Chase
the year
Daniels.
Before.
I can't remember the if it was night or day when he was
well, you
eating
were at
that
both.
Booger.
You were at both. Because down there was the monsoon game in 2009.
Yeah, he wasn't eating a booger then. I know that.
08 was the previous year.
So that
had
must
to
have
be,
been it.
It was a night game. They won 52-17.
So Chase Daniel ate his boogers here and still beat us. Still beat Nebraska.
Well, Jeremy Macklin beat Nebraska.
Well, that too. He also wanted to come to Nebraska.
Yeah, the old Joe Burrow thing is a little rough to take. Because he looked great, didn't he? Running and throwing.
Yeah.
In that offense.
Yeah.
You know, it might look great tomorrow. It's Tommy Armstrong. How do you think he does?
He has... I'm so shocked at how close Brandon Vogel called it. Remember what he did in June, July, where he had the quarterbacks sort of are who they are, and they
yep.
don't improve that much?
Yep.
And he called out a passing percentage that he thinks Tommy will be around, and Tommy's
50.
Tommy's actually under it
yep.
right now,
yep.
which is pretty crazy. Look, it depends, man. He needs the line to be good for him to be able to complete passes.
I just want to see Nebraska look Northwestern-esque. Take me
That's
back in time.
That's the last time that offense has looked okay.
Yep, it's been a long time.
Uh-huh.
Thanks so much for coming out. Thanks for coming to see us here in the Rail Yard, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Don't forget, we'll be here next Friday with Maryland coming to town. But have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in. Mark Cranack, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity, back at you next time.